Has any of you ever looked up your family history? You looked up your family and found out where you came from, what country you came from, because most of us came from another country to get here. I'm not sure about mine. They came out of the North Georgia Hills, so I don't know. Linda's always wanted to go back to the time when they had the big hoop skirts and all that stuff. I said, that wouldn't work. We'd be slaves. There's no way in the world we could do anything else. We wouldn't be the ones wearing the big dresses. We'd be the ones cleaning the building for them. But that's just the way it goes, you know. You don't know. Sometimes people look back at their history and then they don't want to find out their kinfolks because they found out that there's a horse thief here, there was somebody did this here and somebody did that there. And Danny is looking up some of our history and Linda's family's history just a little bit. And we kind of told him about some people that were looking that up. I think the pig family that her mother is from North Georgia and Alabama, North Tennessee and Alabama, North Alabama. And one of her cousins up there, it's an obsession with her. She talks about it all the time, and I guess that's good, but she's letting everybody know about this. And so we told Danny about it so he could get in touch with her, and I tried to tell him some of my kin folks. I don't remember them, you know. You look back and you see what people did 100 years ago. And you see where they were and where you came from. And I've seen people that they have looked at their family back for several hundred years and found out that they came from England or Ireland or some other place and that found the legacy that's there. And that's good to do. I'm not saying anything bad about that. It's good to do that and find out where you came from and who your people were. You might have a relative there that was really important. Might have one that was rich, too. Of course, I don't worry about that in my family. But you think, what's it going to be in 100 years? What are they going to say about me in 100 years? What are they going to say about you in 100 years? I mean, are they going to talk about some accomplishment that we have made, some great thing that we did, or will they even remember us? You know, 100 years is not that far back, but will people remember all those things about us? What will they remember about us? And it's important that we think about that just a little bit because, you know, I want my family in the future to look back and say, well, he did good. He tried to live right. He tried to serve God. He tried to be a good person. That's what I hope they say. And they may look back and say, that scoundrel was a preacher. You just never know. But it's important that we see that. And the passage that was read in your hearing a while ago in 2 Peter is one where Peter is trying to say, I want you to think about the past, but I want you to think about the future too. And he's talking about something that was going to last. Now, they may not remember us in the future, but there's something they can remember about us in the future, and that's what we want to look at today. We want to see the legacy that we now are leaving for those that are coming behind us or in front of us, the generations to come, and us to understand that. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter. In 2 Peter 1, Peter starts off trying to tell people, I want you to be faithful to God. I want you to serve God. I want you to do God's will. I want you to be one that you're not ignorant about the will of God, that you know what that will is, and you're going to try to do that. And then he goes on and he starts talking there about some things, and he said, I will make, verse 12, I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. He said, there's some things I want you to remember. Not just about me, but there's some things that are very important for you to remember. What if you could go back and tell the people of the past some things? What would you tell them about? Cell phones and all that? What about if you could go to the future and tell people? What would you tell them? Oh, you just don't know how hard it was. I used to have to get up out of my chair, walk clear across the room and turn a knob to get another channel on the television. Just think about how hard that was. I guess in the future they'll just think and it'll change. I don't know what it's going to be. But what are those things that are going to last? What are those things that are going to last with us? Peter says here, there's some things that I want you to remember. I want you to know those. You already know those things, but I want you to really understand those things. You see, as I mentioned in Bible class this morning, a preacher's job is very simple. What his job is to do is to remind people of what they already know. Not to come up with anything new, because if you come up with anything new, it probably is not going to be right. What you need to do is understand what is written there. Then he goes on and he starts talking there about how they need to grow and some of the things they need to add to their life so that they can help those people in the future. And he starts here, he said, I want you to add to your faith goodness, and I want you to add to your goodness knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. He said, these are things and qualities I want you to have in your life, and these are things I want you to give to your children, and them give to their children, and them give to their children. Growing in the faith. Growing in their service to God. Now, most of us probably are not going to be remembered in 100 years. That's okay. But I hope that the influence that we have on our families for good and for what's right will always be there. I hope it'll be there. They said they were growing in the faith. They were those people that were serving God and doing the will of God. In verse 10, he said that he wanted them to, and he's going to keep this before them, and he's going to try to help them to remember, to tell other people, to let other people know about this. Verse 11, he goes on, and he talks about, said, listen, as you do these things, there is a heavenly reward for you. There's something you're going to receive for being that faithful person, being that person that follows God, that does the will of God, there's a heavenly reward. God's going to give you something. And it's going to be remembered there by God. God remembers everything we do. God remembers the good. God remembers the bad. God remembers everything. Now that can be scary to people if they think about it much. But it's not told in such a way as to scare us. It's told in such a way as to help us to see that God's not going to overlook how we've lived our lives. He's not going to overlook that. God sees and knows everything we do. And He's proud of us. If you don't believe that, you go read the book of Job and see how God's bragging to Satan about Job there. I wonder, is God bragging about you and your life to Satan? You say, oh, I don't know about that. Well, maybe he is. Maybe he's saying, look at how faithful they are. Look at how they continue to serve God. Then he starts in verses 12 through 15, and he says there, I just want to remind you about these things. I just want to let you know about these things so that you'll know what's going to happen, that they should keep on doing the work that they're involved in, that it's so important that they grow in the faith and they are able to do that. He said, I want to refresh your memory. I want to cause you to think about that. You know, one of the best ways to teach people is repetition. Can you remember? Now, they do it different today. I don't know exactly who came up with this thing. But can you remember learning your multiplication tables and how you did that? You just did it by rote. And some of you right now, even though you're gray-headed and you might forget a lot of things, you could probably stand up where you are right now and go through your multiplication tables. Because it was something that was just stamped in your mind. It was there. He's saying here, what I want stamped in your mind is the Word of God. I want you to understand that you need to grow, and you need to grow, and you need to encourage others to do it, and you need to encourage people in the future to do it. You need to help those people to be able to do that so that you can accomplish all the things that God wants you to accomplish. Peter's trying to say, I want you to know that. I want you to understand that. I want you to grow in the faith. Let me tell you something. That's the thing we've got to learn to do. Going to church is one thing. But knowing the Word of God is a totally different thing. And it's important that we know the Word of God. Because you know there may be a time, just like some of these people we just talked about, that they're in the hospitals. They're in the nursing homes. They can't get out. They can't come. I was with a lady just the other day, and she had said, I can't wait till I can get back to church. I can't wait till I can be there. I really want to be there. I said, everybody knows that. They know you want to be there, but you can't right now because of health. At that time, then we rely on our faith and our trust in God, and we keep on being faithful. We keep on serving God. We keep on doing His will and doing what God wants us to do. Then verses 16 through 18, Peter here mentions some very important things. And he says, I want you to know that what you're going to be following, what you're going to be doing, what you're going to be growing in, it's the truth. He said, we're eyewitnesses. We've heard God say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We were there. And we heard those words. We heard, and others told us about other occasions when those words were said. He was saying, listen, we're telling you something that we know is true and there's no way around it. We know it's right. We know it's good. So what you're going to be following, what you're going to be teaching is so important that you need to know it yourself, but you need to also teach those generations in front of you. Help them to know what it is. Teach those that are younger. I was listening to Charles Stanley this morning, and he had a passage that I'd like to talk about. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, where he talked about God's Word and how that people need to teach it to those that are young and continue teaching it and continue helping them to know what the Word of God is. That's an important thing. That we help our children to understand what it is. That we help them to understand how that they need to follow the Word of God. Then he goes in verses 19 through 21 and he says here, that he talks about how that they are those that have followed the prophecies of old and how those prophecies have come true, and they need to be willing to trust in that. They need to be willing to do that. And he sums up in verse 21 where he says, I want these things to move you. I want these things to motivate you. I want these things here. And the idea behind the word move here is like a big ship. It's like a big sailing ship. And the sails are all up and they're all there and the wind just catches them and it just blows them away. It just moves them where they need to go. He's saying, I want the Word of God to do that for you. I want you to have that influence on other people that it moves them too. Peter preached the gospel and he lived the gospel. And he's encouraging these people here to live and to preach this gospel and to follow it. Now, what we want to do, and the next thing I want us to see, is I want us to see the reason that we need to trust the Bible. And I know we've studied this before, but you don't need to get tired of studying it again to know how important the Bible is. People don't respect this book today like they have in the past, but understand there's a lot of people that didn't respect it in the past. They didn't trust it. But we can look at this book and we can trust it. This is a book that we can have dependence on. You know, scholars usually divide this thing of finding out the truth of God's Word and that God's Word is true into two areas. One is the internal evidence and the other is the external evidence. Now, internal evidence is very simple. This is not one book. This is 66 books that was written by several men from different countries, at different times, and it was all brought together through the inspiration of God, and they all agree with each other. If you have two passages that disagree with each other, let me tell you something. You either don't understand both of them, or there's one you're missing on. Because the Bible is true, always has been. 1600 years that it took to write this book. And these people were just, I mean, they didn't even know each other. It was written in really three different languages, Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. And all that came together, as one thing, and not just by one man. One man couldn't write it. He couldn't live that long. You say, well, he could come down and he could be here at this time and look back through history. That wouldn't work. No man's that smart. No man is that intelligent. the Bible addresses some of the greatest questions that man has, some of the greatest questions in the heart of man. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? And it helps us to understand the answer to those questions that mankind is still looking for. And even though the Bible gives that, they don't look at that. They don't understand that. And then there's that internal evidence of prophecy. Do you know there were over 318, according to some people say more, some people say less, but over 318 prophecies about Jesus Christ. Someone has said, and it's good in math, that if he had fulfilled 8 of those, out of all the 318 that are given, that it would have been 1 in a trillion for him to do just 8 of them. But Jesus Christ fulfilled every one of those prophecies. You can, if you want to take the time to go through and look at those prophecies and find out where those prophecies are and find out what they're, you can go through and you can find out not only the prophecies, but you can go and see the fulfillment of those prophecies. That's saying this book is from God. It couldn't be from man. Man's not smart enough to do that. So here we're talking about something that is worth you giving your life to. It's something that's worth you teaching to other people, teaching to your children and to other people in the world. It has the power to change people. It has the power to help people to be better and greater. But not only that, there's that external evidence that's found too, that says this book is from God. This book is a book that was written by God. Archaeology. People go dig and they dig in the ground and they find this and they find that. Do you know that there's some people that are archaeologists that have had great educations? You know what they've used to try to find some of the places they're looking for? This book. They would talk about where it was, and some of these people were able to interpret that, and they would go dig and they would find a city there. Years ago, scholars used to kind of laugh at when it talked about, and other people in the world, when it talked about the Hittite nation. They said there was no such thing as a Hittite nation. In 1905, they found it. It was about 90 miles from the capital of Turkey. They found this city that people laughed at and said it wasn't there, but it was there. A fella digging all over. I mean, you got people all over the world that are digging in the ground. None of them have disproved the Bible yet. They have dug and found some, you know, the tables, our plates, scrolls, the Dead Sea Scroll, which has confirmed the Word of God as we have it even today. But not only that, we can see that the Elba tablets that were found in, 1975, that are over 250 years old, that were written, 250 years, it was written in 250 B.C. Some people said they didn't even know how to write at that time. But see these confirmations of the Word of God, how that the Word of God has said that it says it's true. It's right. You can go on, and we're so fortunate today. You can go on the internet. You can go on Google, and you type in archaeology in the Bible, and let me tell you something, it'll fill the page up with stuff. And you can keep on reading. You don't have to take my word for it. I want to encourage you to go find it out for yourself. And some of the other things that the prophecies that are found are true, but not only that, but the archaeology that the people have found to be true. Things like paths in the sea. There was a fellow that was reading the Bible about paths in the sea, and he got to thinking, you know, there's certain paths where the water travels. Found that out, tested it out, found out it was true. Oh, you could go on and on and on with evidences about how that the Bible is a true book. The Bible is a book that is right. The Bible's not a scientific book, but where it talks about something scientific, it has always been proved to be true. This book could not be written by just a mere man. Man looked at the Bible and said, the earth's round. It's not flat. Man looked at the Bible and talked about, as we mentioned a while ago, the paths and the sea. Man looked at the stars and he said, you can't count them all. Well, the Bible's already said that a long time ago. You can go and you can see within the Bible how it describes and helps us to understand the precious things of this world that we have and the great things of this world. And you know, if it can be true and proven archaeologically, if it can be true scientifically, why can't it be true morally? And it can, and it is. And we can trust in it. We can depend on it. Listen to this. From Genesis to Revelation, here's a book, 1,600 years, different people at different time, and all of them have the same theme. There is one coming that is going to save His people from their sins. 1,600 years, and they're all separated. Different places, different times, but they all have that same theme, and that same thing continues on and on and on. They show the evidence of Jesus Christ and of His death on the cross and what He sacrificed there. We should be those people that understand that we have so many evidences to prove the Bible, to where we need to recognize, we need to teach that to other people and help other people to see that. But I think one evidence that we see that the Bible is true is how it's changed people's lives. They have been people who were not good for anything. They were people who were willing to murder and steal and rob. And this book has changed their lives. God's Word has been something that made them better people. We can see Saul of Tarsus and his change, willing to persecute Christians, willing to try to destroy the church. And then, because of the influence of Jesus Christ on his life, he became one of the great proclaimers of the gospel. In our songbook, many of those songs are written by a fellow named John Newton. And maybe you know about his life. He was the one that was a slave trader. He was one that was trading in the lives of people. But he heard the gospel. He heard God's word and he changed his lives. Drunks have become sober. Cheating husbands have become good fathers and good husbands. It has had the power to change the lives of people. Probably no other book in this whole world has influenced people and changed people more than this Word of God, than what it has done. And that should show to us how important it is, how important it is for us to follow it, how important it is for us to teach other people about it and help other people to understand that. What are people going to remember about you in 100 years? What will they think about you? What will they say about you? What can we leave that those people and give them that will help them to be better people and live in the world? Simple. The Word of God. Not just as it's taught, but as it's lived. The example of others. I've heard of other people talk about, I saw my grandmother reading the Scriptures. I saw my grandfather reading the Bible. I don't know how many preachers I've heard say, you know, I saw my grandmother as she read the Scriptures every day. My grandfather, we went to church every time the doors were open. That's the influence that's there. That's the kind of influence that we need to have on other people. We may not have, we may not be able to do what Leonardo da Vinci did in some of the things that he did in the sculptures and all that stuff. We may not be able to do what Napoleon did in conquering the people of the world. And sometimes we think, what's my life really worth? What's my life really worth? Because I haven't done any of those things. I hadn't been president. I hadn't been a senator. I hadn't been, you know, this great person or that great person. The world hadn't fallen at my feet because of how popular and wonderful I am. Let me tell you something. That makes nothing at all. That's nothing at all. What's important is that we are following the Word of God and we're encouraging those generations after us to do that. We see our children, we see our grandchildren as they're faithful to God and they're serving God. Let me tell you something. When you see that, then your life is worth something. And you need to be proud of what you're doing. And you need to encourage them to be able to do that. Oh, can't compose music like Mozart. But I can teach my grandson, my granddaughter, what to do to be faithful to God and how to follow the will of God. Teach them a love for the Bible so that they'll love that book enough that they'll be willing to study it, to teach it, to help other people to know about it. We sit here today and we think, well, the world's getting mean. The world's getting bad. Things are so terrible. What's going to happen? Let me tell you something. This is it. Everybody has thought that the world they're living in was bad. If they know what's right, they have. You go back and read years ago. Sounds like a newspaper today. How mean, how terrible, how awful people are. Now, I'm not saying it's going to get any better. Probably it's going to get worse. So that means you can stand out even greater. That your light for God can shine brighter than any other light in the world, that you can be that city that's set on a hill that draws people to God. That's what we got to be. And then legacy, will our life really be worth something? Oh, yes, it will. It will be worth a lot. Because in 4, 5, 10, 20 generations, the influence that you have as a person that believes in the Bible can be great in the lives of other people. And they may never open up a history book and see your name or my name written there. And that's okay. Just so our family is faithful to God and serving God and doing God's will and believing in the Bible and teaching the Bible to other people. It's worth it all. It's worth it all. Please be a person that you stand up for what's right and you do what's right and you believe in God's Word. You teach that Word. You live that Word. You serve God as you should. And your legacy will be great in the world. But not just in this world, in the world to come. In heaven. Be a child of God for the generations to come. But you be a child of God for you right now. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. Because you're not setting the right example for your family. For the world. If there's sin in your life as a child of God, you need to repent of that. You need to turn from it. You don't need to sit around and wait and think about it. I know I need to do that, but I'm not going to. Quit doing that and just decide to do it. Get it done. Accomplish it. And then all these things are out of the way. It's like a load that's lifted off of you when you do that. We sing this song to encourage you and to encourage me. To think about the legacy that I'm leaving because I'm writing my legacy right now. And it needs to be one strong. It needs to be one that's faithful to God. And I need to teach this Word of God to everybody I can meet to make people better. How to change the world. Start with me. Start with you. And I live better. And I do better. And it shows the better way to go. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.